Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Sexy, huh? You ready?
Yep.
You ready?
Horn. Tim Hasselbeck on the line with us every Wednesday at high noon. Timmy, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Great.
I want to start with this little sticky mess between the Steelers and the Browns that does not want to go away. And I want to know what you think of what I've been pretty vocal about on the show the last couple of days. I do not believe this needs to get swept under the rug. I do not believe that this needs to quietly go away in the night. I believe if I'm Roger Goodell, I would have all parties involved, and I mean everyone involved in this, in an office or a conference room, behind closed doors, and hash out and try to get to the truth, if that's possible. You can't make these accusations if it's not true. On the same token, if it is true, Mason Rudolph needs a really, really harsh punishment because you can't do that either. Mike Tomlin has come out and defended him. Okay, so you've got to – I mean, the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, Rudolph, everybody has said they are backing up Rudolph. Nobody's heard a thing. The league has said, we've looked into it. There's nothing here. Myles Garrett is literally, from what I can tell, the only person saying this. No one else has backed up his story, and I'm not saying that he's lying. I'm just saying no one else has been able to back up what he has thrown out there now again as he has circled back around to this again. But it can't be tolerated. If he's not telling the truth, there needs to be a round two of punishment for Myles Garrett. But it doesn't need to go away. You can't do that. And to me, the league needs to figure out if you can, unless it's just a he said, he said, who's telling the truth and who's not, because somebody's lying.
Right. And so I think that, I mean, I agree with everything you said, especially in terms of it, you know, just going away. I think the thing that probably seems to be, let's just say there's a group of people that believe Myles Garrett, and then this is a group of people that believe Mason Rudolph. And so whether those people are members of their team, the opposing team, fans, you know, whatever it is, that's the case. I think what everybody probably wants is to hear the audio. It's a Thursday night game, right? If I'm correct, it was a Thursday night game. There's a sky cam, and, you know, those sky cams pick up audio. You know, they have mics in them. And from my understanding is that the mics are really good, you know, and they pick up a lot. And the sky cams are always, you know, they're behind the play. So in this instance would be, you know, behind. Now, you know, how high behind or any of that, like, you know, I don't know the answer to that. But I think what people would want is, okay, well, they'd want to hear that audio. Now, I guess kind of what's been said is like that audio is not recorded. And if that's what they say, then maybe that's true. But I think that what would probably be something that would at least help, you know, people kind of, you know, get to some type of resolution with it would be, this is our audio. Like, listen to it. for like as you said, everybody in a room. This is the audio. And then that way, if Mason Rudolph said something, you know, potentially you would hear it. And the NFL said they investigated it, and there was no punishment to Mason Rudolph, but there was to Myles Garrett. And so, like, I think that if the NFL has, in fact, looked into that, if you believe that they have looked into it, then there isn't anything on any audio that they have that has him saying something. Now, it also just might be a scenario where they just don't have the audio. And I don't really know the answer to that. And I have heard people that have directed and produced games before. I've heard their feelings on it. And so, you know, I think that there has to be some audio, you know, that they looked into. And so I think getting those people involved and being like, look, this is what it is. So, like, you know, we're going to let you know that if you want to change your story before we release this audio. I mean, I think that's the only way you get resolution to it.
Yeah. And by the way, they have that, which you've brought up in the parabolic mics. I mean, I don't know how, especially like you said, it's the Thursday night game. It is the lone game in the league. It's on national television. And so you would think some mic would have picked up this. And I've got to be honest, the Mike Tomlin comments, I mean, he's a pretty credible source. I think that's pretty damning for Myles Garrett, don't you think? That he's defending Rudolph?
And I do. And, you know, there's really no other way to say it other than, like, you know, that's an interesting, you know, situation of Mike Tomlin, who obviously, you know, you would think would have been in communication with the league. I mean, at that point, you know, Mason Rudolph is his starting quarterback. You would think that he would have some type of communication with the league in terms of that guy's situation. Is he going to be suspended? Did something happen? You would think that they had communicated with the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, you know, throughout the investigation because, you know, it was the starting quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, so for Mike Tomlin to be as strong as he was about it, then, you know, I think that certainly is significant and means something. I just can tell you what I've been told. I've been told that, you know, the games I've called, we have an OmniCam, which is basically a different version of SkyCam. You know, SkyCam is, you know, something that it's kind of the latest and greatest technology. I mean, they're really incredible, and the shots they give you watching a game are phenomenal. And there's microphones in them, and those microphones pick up a lot. Now, does it mean like, hey, it just picked up a lot, but we weren't recording it? You know, we don't save that audio. Look, I don't know enough about that, but what I have been told is that technology picks up a lot. Now, if there's a fight and there's a lot of yelling and, like, can you hear, you know, one voice in a crowd, you know, you maybe not. But, you know, I think if the NFL had audio that would, and again, I don't know if they owe it to all the fans, but if they had the audio that they could play for both parties, and maybe they have, then I think that probably, you know, would have an impact.
Myles Garrett doubled down and came back to his original late story. Remember, this was late. This wasn't said right away. It wasn't said immediately. It wasn't said, it kind of came up after the fact. And so he's doubled down and come back around. I think the hard part that I wrestle with, and to me, if I'm Myles Garrett, if you have doubled down and come back to this, wouldn't you want it out there that you're? Because I don't feel like people are siding with him on this just simply because no one, and I mean no one, has corroborated his story. I mean, I also think, Tim, you know this better than anybody. I don't need to tell you. You've been in Mason Rudolph's position. How can no one? Besides Rudolph, how could no one, like right now he's painting the picture, it's only those two. How could no one else, when there were a lot of people around, have not heard it?
Yeah. Well,
how could only Garrett have heard it?
Right. Yeah, and I think that, you know, you've seen teammates, you know, defend Mason Rudolph, you know, of all kinds of different races. And then you've seen, you know, you've seen people come to the defense of Myles Garrett, you know, as well. You know, I think, unfortunately, like, you know, we've seen ugly situations like this in the past. And, like, take the Riley Cooper situation in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Riley Cooper, like, his teammates weren't, you know, weren't jumping to his defense.
Mm-mm.
You know, it really took Michael Vick to try to, like, smooth things over with some teammates for them to, you know, to somewhat accept him back on the team. So, you know, this isn't something, you know, situations like this aren't something where, you know, your team colors, you know, supersede or, you know, the, you know, trump the situation at all. I mean, it's just, it's not. And so I do think that it is, you know, when you look at it and you think Myles Garrett didn't say anything, you know, immediately after the game to reporters when he was asked about it, and then the fact that no one has really corroborated his story, and the NFL through their investigation really haven't let any credit, you know, lent any credibility to his, you know, side of the story. Look, I do think that, you know, it starts to feel one-sided in that direction. And saying all of that, you know, it'd be pretty tough to be in, you know, Mason Rudolph's shoes if you were accused of something as heinous as that to, mm-hmm. you know, to deal with it.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, it's one of these ugly situations that unless the NFL releases audio where people, you know, then walk away from it feeling like they've heard the interaction, you know, I don't know how it gets better.
Do you feel like they will take this very serious and try to get to the core of this and try to get a side?
No, because I don't, you know, it's a little bit, because I don't think that the NFL, I think in their mind is they've reinstated Garrett, they punished him, they've reinstated him. Like, I think the NFL wants to move on from it, and they've shown us in the past, like, sometimes their way of moving on is just, like, moving on, like, we're not giving you any more information. You know, in some ways, like, when guys test positive for something, and they're like, oh, I was taking a fertility drug because my wife and I are trying to get pregnant. If that's not true, the league actually can expose that, but they don't. They just kind of move on. They're like, look, we suspended the guy 4 games. You know, he can try to, you know, save his reputation publicly as much as he wants, but we're just moving on. You know what I mean by that? Like, they don't,
yeah.
The NFL doesn't seem like they're in the interest.
But that's,
you know,
wrong. That's wrong for a guy like Rudolph because, you know,
yeah.
If he didn't do that, that's
1,000%.
Wrong. It should not even be tolerated if that did not happen. That should never be acceptable.
Yeah, and that's why I think, you know, his lawyers, you know, I mean, his lawyer basically came out and put a pretty strong statement. And look, I think on a bunch of levels it's wrong for Mason Rudolph if it's not true. Because if it's not true, think of the scrutiny that guy was in his, like I said, was his second year trying to, was it rookie year? Second year trying to, you know, play, be the starting quarterback and replace a Ben Roethlisberger on a team that was maybe going to be a playoff team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he was playing poorly, I mean, you guys heard me talk about him in the pre-draft stuff. I thought he was a pretty good player. Not a pretty good player. I thought he was a very good player. And, you know, he gets benched for Duck Hodges. I can only imagine the pressure that the guy felt, if in fact it's not true, of being accused of something that you didn't do, and then also the magnitude of trying to play, you know, the position of quarterback well in the NFL. You know, I mean, it literally could have been something that ends up ruining his career.
Yeah.
So, look, I think it's now, to your point, Darren, that you said earlier, if he did, yeah, then, like, it should always be hard for him to ever walk into a locker room ever again.
Oh, it could be career-ending if he did.
Yes, for sure. Look at Kerry Collins. I mean, it took Kerry Collins a lot to basically be able to go back into an NFL locker room because of the situation in Carolina, you know?
Yeah.
And, but he was able to, but yeah, that's, I think that when you ask about, unfortunately, I think what the NFL is hoping is, like, there's just going to be a bunch of more stories, a bunch of more situations, and Tom Brady's going to sign somewhere, and, you know, hey, the Drew Brees news, and here we go. And because of that,
it gets pushed
they're just
back.
Yeah. That, like, you move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just hate that because I think somebody should be punished. This should not be taken lightly. And if Rudolph did it, he deserves harsh punishment. And if he didn't, I think there needs to be round two of punishment. I just don't think you can do that. And like I said, double down and come back. And if it's true, then there needs to be action taken. I hate that. I think you're right. I think you've probably just played out or just laid out how it's going to play out. It's probably going to get lost in the shuffle, and there's going to be all kinds of big free agency news, and the combine is just around the corner. By the way, Willie, the combine's at the end of the month, so it's coming up soon.
Yeah, I'll put that on my
in
calendar.
Indianapolis. Yeah, put that on your calendar.
It's not this weekend.
It's not. No, okay, it wasn't last weekend either. And then it's just the draft, and then it's just, right, it's just going to fizzle away. I think you're probably right, and I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And I think, look, if I were Mason Rudolph and I knew that I didn't say anything or this and that, like, I would be saying publicly that, like, I hope the NFL releases every bit of audio that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would be saying that publicly, like, release everything that you have, release an audio tape of it. I think for the NFL, you know, I don't think that you can, I don't know how they, you know, like, I don't know what is in their jurisdiction too, of like what you can and can't punish in terms of, you know, what somebody says. Like, no, I know, like you can penalize somebody on the field for certain language and things like that. Like, I don't know what they can really do, you know, at that point. Like, I just don't, you know. I'm not saying that they should have the power, they shouldn't have the power, but, like, I'm not really sure what's in their jurisdiction of what they can and can't do. I think the league, in some ways, in terms of the players, the body of the players, and, you know, I think they would I know how, or at least I have a pretty good feeling about how they would handle it, but, like, what do you do? Can you really punish Myles Garrett for making a false accusation?
Can,
like,
you?
I'm not sure that I don't know that you can. That's what I'm saying. So, like, for the NFL, like, look, why are we going to keep doing this? What, to find out that he's lying? To then, like, then what are we going to do? Or to find out that he's telling the truth and then, whatever, months later, say, yeah, Mason Rudolph's got 2 games for, you know, a racial slur? Like, I don't even know if you can do that.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting. More with Tim Hasselbeck on the other side of Darren Donick and Chase. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But first, Willie, you've got a word about the good folks at the Lee Company.
All right. Let me tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. And spring is coming up around the corner. Let me get the word out for you. Make the call to Lee Company to get your air conditioning unit checked. Yes, it's that time of the year. It's probably been a few months since you've been running that thing. And yes, in a few months, you're going to be running that bad boy every day. Make sure it's running efficiently, properly. Call Lee Company, 615-567-1000. They're a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators. You will see their display all over Bridgestone Arena if you're coming down to watch the Predators anytime soon. You'll hear them as their part of our coverage, for 102.5 The Game. They are excellent. We are part of their home maintenance plan. We have yearly service, year-round, with Lee Company, with the home maintenance plan. So inquire about that as well. But get that air conditioning unit checked. Get ahead of the curve, because it's a lot easier now, and you will feel a lot better when the weather turns warm every day. LeeCompany.com. You can make an online appointment and also check out all their great services, or give them that call at 615-567-1000. It's Lee Company.
Back here at Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Tim Hasselbeck, my best friend from ESPN. Timmy, obviously, we got a few days before the window opens for the franchise tag, so I have been reading articles everywhere about what teams are, you know, who they need to franchise, will a team franchise tag, and for the Tennessee Titans, it comes up, of course, the players that we've talked about, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. But I read one this morning from Bill Barnwell, your colleague at ESPN, saying that he thinks that the best move for the Titans would be to go ahead and get a long-term deal done with Tannehill, use the tag on Henry, and then use the transition tag on Jack Conklin. What do you think about that?
I think it makes sense. Look, the first two parts of it, I absolutely agree on. You know, I've been asked a number of times, like, you know, which guy's more important, you know, the running back or the quarterback? The quarterback's more important. I think Ryan's a great fit here. I think it's a good fit for him, and then he's a good fit for the team. So I just think across the board, it's good. He's the best option. You know, you see all these people talking about Teddy Bridgewater, and, you know, I'm somewhat surprised. I feel like, you know, there's been so much focus on Teddy Bridgewater. Really, to me, the best free agent quarterback on the market, you know, and I think that I could even, with Breeze going back to New Orleans, okay, the free agent quarterback on the market, I think is Ryan Tannehill. You know, like as, even with all the Brady talk, like Brady's not a good fit here. Like I just, so I think a long-term deal with Ryan Tannehill is the right thing. In terms of, you know, Derrick Henry, I think it just kind of depends on, you know, what you think the market is. Look, I think he'll be a valuable, you know, if he was a true free agent, I think there'd be a bunch of people going after him. There's no question about that. But you also have to kind of forecast a little bit and say, well, what would it be? Like, are people going to go into the Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott money for Derrick Henry? Like, I would guess that they wouldn't. But, like, I'm also not in a position of losing him and trying to replace him. So, you know, how do you kind of figure out, you know, what his worth is? You basically delay the game a little bit, and you delay the game by, you know, putting the tag on him. And, you know, you're paying your running back a lot of money at that point, and obviously your structure has changed with the quarterback's contract, but that makes sense to me. And then I think with Conklin, I think it's interesting because, you know, he's a guy that, you know, because of the injury history, but because he played much better this past season, I think he's one of those players that, look, you want to keep. You've drafted, you've developed, you kind of, you know, you also rehab the player. Like, I think you would hate to see him walk out the door, especially when you feel like maybe his best times are still ahead of him.
Another one for you that obviously caught my attention, Jason Witten saying he wants to play in 2020, but he's open to going to other teams if the Cowboys don't want him back. And, you know, I as a Cowboys fan, I look at that and I go, well, I feel like that's probably the only team that would really want him because of his age and all of that. But do you think that there could be a market for him if he were to test free agency?
Yeah, I do. I think there are people that would want his presence in the locker room. You know, his presence in the locker room somewhere other than Dallas wouldn't be the same. I think the fear in Dallas is that, you know, you kind of need a new voice a little bit. And I think there's probably plenty of people that have deferred to him in Dallas. But I think there would also be plenty of people that would look at Jason Witten and say, you know, he can still be a good inline blocker. You know, he can be kind of our second, third tight end, play in certain personnel groupings. And then also just be a really good example in terms of how to practice, how to prepare, you know, how to compete, all of those things that can be good for your team. So, you know, I know people have connected the dots to the Giants. And if you think about the Giants and, you know, they have Evan Ingram. So, well, Evan Ingram is a totally different type of tight end. So, look, maybe, you know, Witten's skill set would be helpful since you don't really have it with your starting tight end. And, you know, maybe he could be an influence to help Ingram get better, you know, in some of those other areas. So, you know, could he end up somewhere else? Yeah, I just think the thing for Witten is going to end up being, all right, so do you want to go somewhere else? Like, you know, Greg Olsen's deal surprised me a little bit in terms of the money in Seattle. But, you know, like that money or less. Like, if you're Jason Witten, like, do you leave to go play somewhere else for, you know, an incentive-based contract? I think that ends up being the factor. Could he help somebody? Yeah, I think he could be helpful. Does he have a huge impact? No. And then the next question is, what's he willing to play for?
Here's one for you, Tim. We were discussing this yesterday. You can imagine, and I don't know if you on your shows on ESPN have gone down this road, but the reaction of Major League Baseball players almost to a man to the Astros has been outrage, right? They've been all over them. There's not been a lot of defending of any kind by anybody of what Houston did. Compare that. Like, I'm looking at the NFL page on ESPN. You have Ben Affleck, who, of course, is the resident, you know, celebrity Boston sports fan, saying in the headline, I haven't watched what he says, but he says Deflategate was BS. How would you compare what the Astros did to the various things that got tangible punishment from the Patriots? Like, nobody has ever gone to the point saying take the trophy away from the Patriots, right? But there is a comparison to be made.
Well, no, I do think there are people that have kind of been in that situation. I think there are probably certain Rams. I think there's Rams, Panthers, and, you know, Colts, you know, people that feel like, you know, the Spygate stuff, you know, they feel like they've been robbed. I mean, I've worked with some and have talked to plenty that feel that way. Look, the Spygate stuff was significant because of how they were stealing, you know, other teams' signals. So not because other people weren't stealing signals, because people were, for sure. I was on teams that were stealing signals. I was listening to play calls go in where the quarterback was being told what coverage he was going to get. Now, when you were stealing it not by video, you weren't as good. You know, it's in some ways, you know, it's like having a radar gun and shooting every pitch and being like, that's a fastball. That was a breaking ball. That was a like, you know, you can be more accurate with it. Whereas you're like, ah, I think that was a fastball, right? Like, it seemed like a fastball. Like, I listened to plays where they were the coach would be like, hey, okay, I just called that play. Check it down. You're getting Tampa 2. So, and I remember watching film of the Patriots and saying to my brother, I'm like, man, we were watching these cutups. I'm like, man, Brady is so good at adjusting pass protections pre-snap. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anybody as good as he is adjusting pass pro pre-snap. Well, if you know the blitz you're getting, you can be really good at adjusting the protection to pick it up. So there are people that definitely feel like, you know, they were robbed, that championships were stolen because they knew what was happening. I mean, that's fact, that there are people that were part of those organizations that feel that way. And I'm sure that people in baseball feel that way.
Is it fair to say that it was not as much unanimous outrage for the Patriots as it is what we're seeing right now with the Astros?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, probably. I think because, you know, in baseball it doesn't seem like stealing the signals in general was as common. Whereas, like, in the NFL, people were stealing defensive signals, but they weren't videoing it. Like, and so I guess maybe because there is, like, this distinction of, like, using technology to do it.
Right. That is the issue in baseball, for sure, is the utilization of technology to do it.
But that's the same thing. It was the same thing. Like, I don't know. I mean, I just – maybe the fan reaction. I'm surprised the fan reaction and just internal reaction, like whether it's guys testing positive performance enhancing drugs and stuff in baseball, like they seem to kind of get, you get labeled, you know, like a scarlet letter on the guys, you know, for that stuff. And you see it with Hall of Fame stuff. But just think about pro football, for example. Like, everyone's talking about how, you know, Rodney Harrison's got to get in. Well, like, he's got to, that the PED, test that was positive. Not just him, but, like, you know, all kinds of guys that's been the case. So, you know, I think when you look at that, like, I just think people, for whatever reason, look at the sports differently.
But I think the legacy of the Patriots, all of that stuff, people know about, but it doesn't seem to override the greatness of the teams. Does that make sense? Whereas this Astros championship, I wonder, like 20 years from now, people are going to look back on the Astros, who have been a great team for several years now. They're always going to say, yeah, but, you know, the headline will still be the sign-stealing thing. The Patriots have escaped that, don't you think?
Well, I do, because they've won since, right? So if the Astros, you know, win two more over the next 8 years, then, you know, then I think people
that changes
like,
the legacy.
Yeah, it totally changes it. But like if New England had you know, had it been back two or won one since, but think about what, you know, Belichick wins 10 or 11 games when Brady goes down, and then the year he's suspended, you know, he starts Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy Garoppolo, and then they end up winning the Super Bowl, and then, you know, after the Deflategate stuff. And then, so I just think there have been too many times where, you know, they've had success since, you know, and so I think the success since has created a situation where you go, all right, like, I don't feel great about those, but like, all right, so take those away. They still won here, you know. And so, I think that's the case. I also think this, like, and I think it's the case for probably a lot of quarterbacks, is even though I was impressed by, you know, his ability to change protections and do all of that stuff, I also knew that there were other quarterbacks that were getting the defense told to them in their helmet. So. Like, yeah, as great as he is, like, you know, this guy's also playing great, and he's being told a lot too. So, you know, I think that's probably, you know, that's part of it, you know, as well.
Tim, good stuff as always. You have a great week, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, cool. See you guys.
All right, thanks. Tim Hasselbeck, every Wednesday at noon, and we appreciate the visit as always. I want to talk to all the homeowners out there. I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has been serving our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. That's a long time. And they've got more than 18,000 satisfied customers stacked up. Yes, 18,000 satisfied residential customers. If you've been outside and you've noticed, maybe looking at your house, you've got some bricks that are cracking. Or maybe you've noticed that walls are bowing. Maybe you've been opening up a door or a window here lately, especially sometimes when we get warm weather. You notice that they're sticking or drywall separating, stair step, cracks in masonry mortar joints, maybe a chimney that's tilting or leaning. I can go on and on. These are all signs that maybe something is going on with your house that you need to get addressed. They are the experts at USS. They believe in their quality of work, their reputation, and they have integrity in their quality of work. And the experts are the ones you want tackling something like this, right? Most of us are not equipped to handle some of the things that I just threw out there. They will come out to your house, and they will give you a free estimate. They're locally owned. They're licensed and insured. And if you're a homeowner like me, that's important to you. So if something like this is going on, and you need to get the experts at USS out to your house, give them a call for that appointment, 615-227-2275, 227-2275. You can always go to their website, usstn.com, and as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CT&C 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.